Times Square, and nobody would care.
Blog Talk Radio.
I mean, if Hillary were doing a fraction of what this guy's doing, you guys would be psycho. But you just water off a duck's back. Oh, it's nothing. All these Russian connections, all these
What Russian connections? It's just nothing. Kathy.
I don't even want to argue with you anymore. It is just beyond ridiculous what you tolerate.
Of course, I mean, you're not going to argue with me because you're never going to stop talking, but what other Russian connections? This is a nothing burger.
Oh, Kelly, yes, it is. Yes, it is. And, you know, you can blow it off like the Donald Trump supporters do, but I can't think of any of the other 17 candidates that you guys had a choice of that have these kind of connections or is obnoxious as this person is, or as degenerated as this person is. I mean, morally, he's disgusting, but as a president, he's pathetic. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, we don't even know if this lady had any connection to the government.
No, she just happens to be a Russian, beautiful little lawyer, never met Putin, I bet. Oh, yeah, right. I mean, why don't you Google Ivanka Trump and know that her relationship, her best friend, is a girlfriend of Putin? The lady used to be married, I think, to Rupert Murdoch. She's the Oriental lady that hit the lady that put the pie in his face or something. They eventually got divorced. They vacationed together last summer. I mean, there are so many Russian connections, it is staggering. And you guys just think it's nothing. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. Anyhow, what's the point? There's just no point in even trying to make an argument with you. I'm not as talented as you, and I haven't written the papers that you guys have. But, you know, if you can go on defending this crap, what is the point of even trying to make an argument? There's just no point. It is not a nothing burger. Something's going on. Something nefarious is going on. So, anyhow, I got to go back to CNN, the fake news channel. Yeah, right. They've been in business for 35 years. They're the only ones that put people in Benghazi and pulled all the stuff out on Benghazi. I mean, come on. It was fine when it was against Hillary, but if it's against Donald, it doesn't matter what this man does. You defend him. He's like an emperor with new clothes, and you're all telling him he looks great, and he's standing there naked as a jaybird.
Hey, Kathy, you're on the air. What are all these connections? I don't even know what you're talking about. They have traced every single one, and there's nothing there. There is. Why do you think there's going to be something there this time?
Well, first, it's not finished. The investigation's not finished. And, yeah, there are a lot of leaks, but, you know, and it goes to the newspaper and it gets out to us. But why shouldn't we know, Kelly? This is a man that's supposed to be representing us. And he has more Russian connections than anybody I've ever heard of. Personally, before he was president, he had quite a few, it appears. But now the Russians were crazy about getting him in. They partied just as hard as the Republicans did when he won. I don't think they changed the numbers. I really don't. And that's something they'll probably aim at doing in future elections. But they were very happy, and there are more connections than you guys will admit.
I don't even admit. No, but, I mean, Kathy, every single thing that has been claimed to be this huge connection has fizzled. Even the Democrats admit it.
Even
your beloved CNN admits that on hidden camera. They admitted on hidden camera. I don't know why you're in love with CNN, by the way. They've been caught making up fake news, and they had to fire people.
Well, you know, they caught reporters doing something they shouldn't do, and because they are the liberal press, they have to be even more diligent, and they fired their butts right away. You know what? You know how long crap goes on at Fox? And until it's pulled out and put out there by CNN or other NBC or BBC or all the other fake news organizations on the planet that don't support Donald Trump,
Kathy, I thought we're having a new era of detente where we could both talk. Speaking of Russia.
I tell you, you got a phone problem here.
I know, but
when
you
I
know I'm
talking,
trying to talk.
I can't
you
hear
just,
you.
You just responded to something I said and then start off on another ramble. saying, I can't hear you because of your phone. And by the way, I'm not going to take a breath. You know, if you call up here and talk without taking a breath, everybody gets frustrated.
Well, go ahead, talk.
The point is that I don't see any there. I don't see that the Russians affected any state election. Nobody is claiming they did. And nobody there's no connection that's substantial between the Trump. Maybe Junior tried to get some information from this lady. I have no idea. But once again, there's no claim that there's any real connection. We don't even know if she worked for the government.
Oh, yeah. You know, top level, beautiful young reporter or young lawyer comes over, and you bet this woman's never met Putin. You bet Putin runs that country. Whatever Putin wants done gets done. And these kind of people that meet with Donald Trump Jr. and Trump Towers, you know, yeah, Putin knows about it. You're kidding yourself if you think this man doesn't control and pull the puppet strings of the people in Russia. He knows what's going on, Kelly, and she more than likely does too. Come on. You are just turning a blind eye to this.
I'm not turning a blind eye. I'm just not jumping to the conclusions that you do, and you're saying, look at this, and this reminds me of all the other connections. What other Russian connections? This story has been a total flop.
It's been
a flop.
It hasn't.
There's nothing there, Kathy. This guy would not even be in office right now if there had been any substantial connections, because everybody was after him.
The investigation is not over. Of course, he'll probably end up firing everybody that's doing the investigation.
Right.
There is more going on here with the Russians than anybody in the Republican Party or conservatives want to admit to. They're just willing to cast it all aside, pretend it's not going to happen or isn't happening, and are just worried about his agenda. You know, any of those other 17 candidates could have pushed through the Republican agenda without this kind of circus going on.
Kathy, thank you for reminding us of the hundreds of thousands of connections between Trump and Russia.
There are, Kelly. You can make a joke of it, but there are more connections with this man and his family than any other candidate that has ever run for office.
Kathy, thanks for the call. Have a great day. All right, folks. It doesn't matter if there's no proof. People like Kathy are dying to just stay. I mean, Kathy, with all due respect, you're a propaganda robot on this topic. Somebody stated a long time ago that there was a connection between Trump and Russia. And now it's got to be true because all of your propagandists have stated it. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. Could there be some giant connection here? It doesn't even look like it. The people that are reporting the story really seem to think there is. But I don't know, Kathy. I just you can go back and listen to CNN if you want, but it's a garbage news network. It's getting destroyed, and you're pouring all your love in there just because of these people that absolutely hate Trump. I mean, if that's what you want out of life. Anyway, here's a little dedication to Kathy, a little musical dedication. Oasis, one of the great rock bands of all time. Stop crying your heart out over Russia. There's nothing there. It doesn't matter. It's too late. They already ruined the opportunity to destroy Trump. We'll be back. 6:23. Got some local news for you. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523, 1450, 805, 6180 to text. Kathy, take a chill pill.
Never change what's been and gone. May your smile.
What would it take at this point when people are really not even paying attention anymore to this stupid Russia story, when they're just totally burned out on all this stuff? What would it take to get people's attention again? I mean, obviously, individuals like Kathy, that's all she can get in her mind. I won't say there's no room for anything else, Kathy, but, you know, here's the thing. I mean, you've got people who hate Donald's guts for whatever reason. Normally, typically, they're liberals that are very bitter about losing the election, who never thought that they could lose power and believe that only liberal ideas are loving and kind and so they believe anything that, because they believe in this kind of strange, and this is what I brought up to you before, this kind of weird thing that if you think about it for a minute, the in the history of the West, we used to have this idea called natural law. And natural law meant the law above the law. And it informed a lot of our policy and ideas and such as the Constitution, Declaration, Bill of Rights are all natural law documents. Now, one of the claims of natural law is if you don't do the right thing, the natural law will come back and haunt you, right? Well, the left has kind of glommed onto this idea and is now states that unless you go along with our thinking, unless you go along with our positions, you're going to regret it. Because nature itself, reality is going to rise up against you. The only problem is that the liberal take on this totally rejects the Bible. So you've got a bunch of crazy ideas out there that have never been accepted before. And it's all part of this social justice warrior / snowflake mentality. And it's not enough that the liberals had a grand time bringing in a bunch of things that many people on the opposing side thought was not just wrong, but apparent. Now that if you try to change or push back on any of them, you know, there's going to be an apocalypse. The earth is going to bake. We're going to, you know, all the fear mongering that they did. So anyway, now, what is the state of Obamacare and the repeal? Here's a little bit from Watch It.
President Donald Trump's effort to roll back Obamacare faced growing obstacles on Monday as Republicans who control the U.S. Senate remained sharply divided over how to keep down the cost of their health care bill and prevent millions from losing coverage. White House Chief of Staff Reince Priebus told Fox News Sunday that Trump, who made repeal and replace of Obamacare a central plank of his 2016 campaign, still expected the Senate to pass a health care bill either before the scheduled start of Congress, August recess, or maybe a little bit into the recess. Other Republicans voiced pessimism. Senator John McCain of Arizona said of the health care legislation on CBS program Face the Nation, "My view is that it's probably going to be dead." Some conservative senators, such as Ted Cruz of Texas and Rand Paul of Kentucky, have said they cannot support the proposal unless it goes further to repeal the 2010 Affordable Care Act, popularly known as Obamacare.
All right, so, and a little bit more here, but, you know, Kathy, if you don't like Trump, just hate on him. Don't come up with these stupid Russia connections, even if you have the support, the momentary support of some dumb story about Donald Jr. Donald Jr. might be great. Might be a chip off the old block. He might be a total bozo. I really don't know anything about the guy. Maybe he did something really dumb. Maybe it has no merit. It seems like it has no merit as a serious issue. Kathy, for it to have a serious issue, Trump Jr. would have had to have gotten in touch with Russia and it would have had to have gotten help. It doesn't sound like that happened. But just hate on the guy. Say you don't like the way he talks to people. Say you resent his hair, like everybody else that I know who hates him. Why don't you be a sincere person and get rid of all the propaganda and just say this guy poses an extraordinary existential threat to liberal ideas and he is passing stuff that I really resent and I can't stand him. I hate him. He's another Hitler. He's another devil. But get rid of the Russia stuff, Kathy. It makes you sound unhinged. All right. Here's a little more. GOP plan to replace Obamacare dead. Fox News, Fox Business.
Now. Thanks, Cheryl. Well, Congress is set to return from recess today. Lawmakers coming back to a pretty lengthy to-do list. On top of that list is health care. Joining us now, Boyd Matheson. Boyd is a former chief of staff to Senator Mike Lee and president of the Sutherland Institute. Good morning, Boyd.
Good morning. How are we doing?
Well, we're okay. I don't know if Congress is. Many lawmakers, you know, they went home for the July 4th recess. They got an earful from their constituents. 10 GOP senators have already come out and said they oppose the McConnell bill. Just yesterday, Senator John McCain essentially declared it dead. So the fireworks are essentially just beginning, Boyd. Do you think the GOP health care bill to replace Obamacare, do you think it's dead?
I think the McConnell version is definitely dead. And I think the number is much higher than 10. They're saying 10. I think it's more like 15 or 16.
Yeah, 14.
Because it's been a political move by Senator McConnell. And that's not what this is about. This is if conservatives believe they have the right principles to deal with the health care, they should put it on the floor, debate it, cause the Democrats to defend Obamacare and talk about what principles they think and what policies should be included. Let's have a real honest, open debate for a change on the floor of the United States Senate and reinstitute it as a real deliberative body.
Okay, but the White House is still confident. Rince Priebus said yesterday on Fox News Sunday that the bill will get passed before the August recess. Is that possible?
Again, the current version is not going to pass. I think you'll have some new amendments, some new versions coming out. Senator Cruz, Senator Cassidy and Collins, Senator Lee and Senator Sass have some things rolling as well. I think you're going to see a real mix go through there. You will have a full play out, I think, in terms of this repeal now with a implementation date of about a year out. I think that will actually get some traction this week. The White House has been supportive of that, of, hey, let's repeal it like we promised. Let's say it's going to last for another year until we implement that. And then let's have a real honest, open debate about the future of healthcare in America.
Sounds like a good idea to me. Take a break here. I mean, get rid of Obamacare has failed. Kathy, do you admit that Obamacare has failed? Or are you so partisan that you don't give a crap? As long as something harms President Trump, you're all for it, even if it did. I mean, look, it shows how dumb that these liberal politicians are in Washington. They passed an absolute stinker of a bill. It began to die immediately, and all you guys have done is fight for it and talk about coverage. What difference does coverage if you're paying for something that's four times, five times more expensive than the one you had before? And the cost of going after any treatment is $10,000 deductible. It's nonsense. Here's some weather. Cry your eyes out, Kathy. This is for you.
Don't be scared. Don't be scared. Destiny may keep you on.
All right, so, you know, here's the thing. Obamacare has failed, right? Is that a partisan statement or is it a statement of fact? I mean, is it a partisan statement of fact? It's dead. If it was still the way forward, there would be just complete chaos in the future. And so now we're stuck with this best thing that Obama ever did, the one thing that he had to brag about. And it's terrible, and we've got to replace it. So it appears that Rand Paul may have been able to convince the Donald that it was time to replace Obamacare. So looking at a story right now, but so what do you think about replace now or repeal now and replace later? Here is the official position of the GOP.
But right now, you have health insurance costs that are doubling. You have deductibles that are so high, and you have insurers pulling out of the marketplace. But that's not health care. Okay, so Obamacare didn't get people health care. It got them higher and higher health insurance that they can't access health care with. And so we have to find a way. And you know what? Republicans are sitting at the table and we're saying, Democrats, come over, talk with us. You put this in place, be part of the solution. It's failing.
All right, so that's the head of the RNC, Rona McDaniel. Now, in a related story, Cher is not worried about her only child, Chaz Bono, used to be Chastity. I guess she really lost her chastity over this one. Cher not concerned about National Enquirer story talking about Chaz Bono's mammoth weight swings. I'm quoting here. Mammoth weight swings, endless overindulgences, and gender reassignment medications are killing him, according to the story, leaving a fearful Cher concerned over his poor health. And this source tells between his transitioning and uncontrollable eating, Chaz has put his body through hell. Mom says, though, he feels he can't go on like this and begged Chaz to diet to save his life. But supposedly fake news, although plausible. And supposedly Cher is disgusted with Chaz. And so is going to withhold money from him so he can't go down to the Village Inn anymore or whatever. McDonald's. I wonder what all-night eateries exist in Hollywood. Must be tough having a gender reassignment. All right, here's number of cannabis patients grows to more than 44,000 in New Mexico. And this is from yesterday, KRQE. And got it for you right here.
Cannabis in our state has skyrocketed in the last year. And this week in an expo is bringing together all aspects of the industry.
New Mexico is really expanding.
Cannabis patients in the state have nearly doubled in the past year to more than 44,000, according to new June numbers from the New Mexico Department of Health.
I think people are becoming more and more aware of cannabis.
Gina Lucero is the president of Grow for Vets New Mexico, a new local chapter of a nationwide organization.
We feel that veterans of all people, they should get it for free. They shouldn't have to pay for their card.
Lucero says in states where recreational pot is illegal, the organization provides free medical cannabis directly to veterans. But in New Mexico, Grow for Vets fundraises to cover the cost of cannabis cards.
There's so many veterans out there that need help, and we need to be able to provide for them.
This weekend, the group is paying for cards for 100 veterans, also providing free consultations. Lucero says her organization is just one in a booming industry that's quickly adding new businesses.
As they grow to hire new people.
That's what this weekend's expo is all about, and where Cannabis NM Staffing comes in. It's a new recruiting company unique to the state, helping bring employers and qualified workers together.
We're looking to add some education and training aspects to the industry.
A growing industry diversifying to fill gaps in the state.
The Cannabis Expo continues today from 10 to 6. It's at the Albuquerque Crown Plaza Hotel on University.
All right, what do you guys think about some medicinal marijuana or just marijuana that is out there to buy to buy without any worry about the legal consequences, the law being changed, et cetera. I mean, what do you think? Well, as I have been informed, why not at least get the tax off this stuff? Now, speaking of the health care changes and the repeal of Obamacare, New Mexico group slamming Obamacare replacement, and Senate GOP leaders in Albuquerque. Well, Senate GOP leaders won't return to Washington, D.C. until Monday, so that they're back there today. But there has been some criticism of the attempt to change the bill. And Bill Jordan with New Mexico Voices for Children, the group's senior policy advisor and government relations officer, got together with Senator Martin Heinrich at an outdoor news conference. And according to Jordan, 300,000 New Mexico children now rely on Medicaid for health care because the state has been very successful in implementing Obamacare. And he says, quote, "We've done more than almost any state, and this bill would hurt us more than almost any other state. Mexico is one of eight states with a trigger law to automatically undo Obamacare Medicaid expansion if there's any reduction in federal financial support. In order to shoulder a larger share of health care costs for low-income residents, Jordan said the state would need to implement substantial tax increases or slash other state essential services. And he is pointing out that New Mexico's Medicaid services have already been cut back due to 2017 budget shortfall. So, while a wealthier state could make up for the difference, New Mexico can't. Jordan also stated this, what do you think about this? More than 70% of births reported in the state are paid for by Medicaid. That's astounding. And it just goes to prove that we do have one of the poorest states in the nation. And let's take another break. Kathy, this is for you. Stop crying your heart out. It's Kelly.
Am I the only liberal that calls? Is that why I'm picked on all the time?
No.
I mean, you don't need...
You called today, and I'm responding to you today, and Frankie calls and other liberals call. I'm glad to get your calls. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Well, I'm glad to get your calls. They're entertaining.
But, you know, it's... typical. You just rather ridicule and make fun and poke at people. That's kind of like the Donald syndrome. He's a bully, and he passes the bulliness down to his supporters. And you think it's just fine to poke and prod and make fun of. That's okay. It's a show.
Well, I mean, what am I supposed to do? Fall down crying when you criticize Donald?
No, but I'm not crying about it. You know, no, I don't expect you to cry at all. You let it roll off your back like water off a duck. You think it's nothing. You're blind to the fact that this guy doesn't need to be president. Pence does. You know, you want your agenda through, the jobs bill, the redoing of Obamacare. I agree with all that. Absolutely. And it's all being pushed aside because of the maniac, the psycho you guys have put in charge. And if Hillary did even a fraction of this crap, you guys would be... I mean, right now, if she had won, we could be worrying about some damn stupid-ass server that might be hacked. Instead, we have a president giving away secrets in the White House directly to the Russians. I mean, Kelly, it is unbelievable that you just push this aside. And you just keep making excuses for him.
Kathy, hold on a second. You hate...
I'm not going on air again, okay?
You hate Donald Trump. Fine.
Personally, yeah. You know, I do. I think he's a bully. I think he did harass all those women. That's the type of person he is. Well, look at the footage of the last 30 years of him. I mean, we read it in the National Enquirer for the last 30 years. So, yeah, I don't like him one bit.
What about Bill Clinton?
Clinton, you know, maybe we should have put somebody better than Clinton. I would have liked to see Biden at this point, yeah. Biden would have beat him. So.
We're on the air. I know you don't want to be on the air, so.
Bye.
All right, just got another call from Kathy, who doesn't appreciate being picked on, but there's nothing to the story with Donald Trump Jr. It's going to go away. Nobody's going to talk about it. So am I supposed to fall down crying every time somebody comes up with some new connection, you know? All right. Looking at a new tortilla miracle story, 40th anniversary of the tortilla miracle. And I got a little clip from a few years ago. It's from New Mexico, the tortilla miracle. It's not an art project. It's a tortilla miracle. So if I can get this puppy to play. But in the meantime, feds are looking into behavioral health services in New Mexico. Fed government will take a look into New Mexico's behavioral health services, according to four Democrat members of the state's congressional delegation. And Udall and Heinrich, Lujan, Grisham, and Ray Lujan, a lot of Lujans out there, say the Federal Department of Health and Human Services Inspector General Daniel Levinson confirmed an upcoming review. OIG, quote, will review the extent to which behavioral health providers are included in the state's managed care plans and types of care offered by these providers, Levinson wrote in a June 28th letter. And we will also assess the extent to which behavioral health providers have available appointments for new patients, the extent to which behavioral health providers have waiting lists, and the extent to which behavioral health providers are able to make referrals to other behavioral health providers for needed care. And this comes in the wake of Susana Martinez claiming there was $36 million in credible fraud of overbilling. So anyway, we're going to find out more about that. All right. Well, maybe this isn't the original tortilla miracle. It looks like it's an update, but see if we can find a tortilla miracle for you story. But, you know, sometimes they do find food or other items that have a, usually it's a Virgin Mary picture on them or Jesus on them. And is it a coincidence? Anyway, I'll find some for next hour. All right, so other stories. All right, well, I'm going to play this little story for you anyway. Holy tortilla miracle vision while making tacos.
I said, oh, my God, I can't believe it.
It was Thursday night, and Lupe Rodriguez was simply making tacos for...
This is 4 years ago.
...for her family.
It actually came from this bag right here.
A bag of Mi Casa flour tortillas.
And I was just grabbing one at a time, and then I just picked it up, and there I saw her. Right away, I saw her vision, her image.
Right there on the tortilla, Lupe says, the Virgin Mary.
Like something to me got sent to me. She actually wanted me to see her.
Lupe screamed out to her daughter.
She's like, oh my gosh, look.
Look, Our Lady of Guadalupe is on our tortilla.
And so I looked and I saw her right away.
Like her gown, her robe, and then here's like her face and the two eyes and her nose and her little crown.
It's an image that can already be found throughout Lupe's house. Paintings, statues, even on the fridge. But a tortilla.
I just kept going on and on and on about it all night.
Older daughter Christina was a little more skeptical.
I still have a hard time seeing the face of it, but I see the outline of it, and I believe my mom and her face, and I see what she sees.
But wait, turns out there's more.
Didn't pay attention to the back, and then I turned it around, and I thought, oh my gosh, I see his face also.
The face of Jesus Christ on the other side of the same tortilla.
So that's like double.
Now Lupe is taking the tortilla wherever she goes.
We went to visit my son last night. I had her in with me in the van, and I showed it to him, and he touched it and carried it.
It's a little bit of a miracle for this family.
They all say that I've been blessed and that there's many more blessings to come. I feel like she's trying to tell me everything's going to be okay in life for you, and just let everybody know that I am here.
Well, I mean, how long did the tortilla last before it fell apart, or did they put it in a tortilla museum? All right, little Brian Regan for you. Words are weird.
It's so awkward, you consider dropping them as a friend. Like cinema. We had this couple over. They kept using that word like it was a normal word for people to use. My wife and I like to attend the cinema. We went to the cinema Friday evening, and we usually attend the cinema a couple times a month. Do you enjoy the cinema? Can you get out of my house? Because we's all going to the movies. Another word like that is cat's up. That word is dangling from a thread. I had these distant relatives over. My kids were with me, and someone said, would someone please pass the cat's up? It was a showstopper. I had to huddle up with my kids. He means ketchup. Pass that. Don't worry. You're never going to have to see them again. You're not allowed to hear those words in this house. Some words only some people are allowed to use. Other people aren't allowed to use certain words, like mansion. The only people who are allowed to use that word are people who don't live inside one. It always has to be about someone else's house. Have you seen where they live? They live in a mansion. People in it are disqualified. Remember calling it that. No one's ever allowed to say, well, things seem to be winding down here at the restaurant. I have an idea. Why don't we all head back to my mansion? You won't need directions. You'll see it. It looks down upon all your homes.
Brian Regan. All right, so I got some good. I found this guy Jordan Peterson. He's unbelievable. I have a few clips from him next hour. Continuing dedication to Kathy. Stop crying your eyes out over Trump. It's too late. He's in there. Support your president, Kathy. 523-1450, 805-6180. We'll be back after break on the hour. All right, so you just heard the story about the monkeys. Well, it's back. Check this out. This is from Ocala. That's up more towards the middle of the state in Florida. And, of course, this thing sticks.
Counted at least.
Here we go.
50 monkeys there at once, stealing $50 worth of deer food a day. Channel 9's Lauren Seabrook went out to the property and found out the monkeys are making a mess.
Yeah, there's feces everywhere out here, and the smell is horrendous. He bought this feeder hoping to catch pictures of deer, but he got monkeys instead, and a lot of them. He watched those rhesus macaques climb right up the stand here, come right up to this plate, and spin it around, sending out enough food to feed the whole troop. It's a monkey invasion.
They're vicious. They're extreme. I mean, they get extremely nasty.
Every morning and every night at 7 on the dot, dozens of rhesus macaques turn Brian Pritchard's backyard into a zoo. This feeding frenzy is totally bananas. They've taken more than 250 pounds of deer food from his feeder in the last few days.
Obviously, the monkeys have it down pat. They don't have to wait on it. They climb up the poles and they just sit there and spin it off the plate.
Nearby Silver Spring State Park recently shut down two sections because of an increased monkey presence. And this video shows an aggressive troop chasing after a family there last week. Researchers estimate 200 non-native macaques live at the park and confirm many carry the deadly herpes B virus. But Brian's convinced hundreds more are spreading out around the area.
I was standing there and looking out that window and I caught a glimpse of something. Look, there was 15 of them that came out. And they were everywhere, but they kept looking like they could see me or hear me in that shed.
There's no doubt the monkeys are watching. For now, they have the property to themselves. But Brian and his family plan to move into a new home there next week. And he just hopes they don't get too comfortable with his children hanging around.
As long as they don't bother me or my kids, I'm not going to bother them.
This property is 4 miles away from Silver Spring State Park, but a buddy of his lives 20 miles from here. He says he has about 30 monkeys that show up on his property, too. In Ocala, Lauren Seabrook, Channel 9, Eyewitness News.
Wow. Unbelievable. They can send a man to the moon. Why can't they catch all these monkeys? Or have they even tried? All right, so some more headlines for you. Fires raging in California as the heat goes off the chart. Bernie doesn't like being investigated by the FBI. And they're calling him vicious and arrogant Sanders as he fights back. Priest pulls a gun in a road rage incident. Working past 70 years old, most Americans, many Americans anyway, cannot afford to retire. And world's oldest hippo dies 65. It's a shame. He was just getting ready for his retirement package from Social Security. Comey private memos contain classified information. Is he in trouble or are they going to let it go? All right, I have an interesting story. I'm looking here for any more news in Google News. What do you think about this little kid that is basically blind, deaf, can't survive without a life support? What do you think about him? Should they continue to keep him on life support or were they right in trying to pull the plug? I'm just curious what you believe. What does the future hold? I have no idea. I don't know what the treatment would be for him. All right, so here's switching gears. I'm a pediatrician. How transgender ideology has infiltrated my field and produced large-scale child abuse. All right, so you're thinking at some point you hear about these kids that transition when they're a kid from male to female or female to male. What is the science behind it? What is the sociology and the law behind it? Well, a doctor named Michelle Critella has commented on this, and she wrote a peer-reviewed article in 2016 called Gender Dysphoria in Children and Suppression of Debate. And so although she's taking her career in her hand, she has got some comments on it. I've got a little clip from her. Let's take our first break. 523-1450 and 805-6180. We're going to come back and listen to this pediatrician's warning about all of the clinics that have been erected across the United States. I believe it's more than 40 to treat children who the adults believe are born in the wrong body. Be right back. Kelly O'Connell, I'm Les Cruces, AM 1450, 523, 1450, and 805-61802 text. We got a call or a text from Frankie, who's defending his Kathy. You go, Frankie. The 7:15, it's the 10th of July, and before we get into the tranny story, couple arrested for DUI with baby allegedly dangling from seat, from the car, and two people were arrested for drunk driving. Baby was in the back seat at 3:30 a.m. Friday, and this is from 3 days ago.
Two people in the same car were arrested for drunk driving, and a baby was in the back seat. It happened early this morning on Piquoy Street. With summer in full swing, police are on the lookout for drunk drivers. But it's not often we hear about an infant being in the car. We also wanted to know how two people could be arrested for drunk driving in the same vehicle. Bridget Namata digs deeper. Bridget?
Joe, 24-year-old Mark Wilson and his 21-year-old wife, Tamari, were also arrested for endangering the welfare of their child. Mothers Against Drunk Driving tells me which group they're having the toughest time getting their message across.
The Honolulu Police Department is setting up unannounced DUI checkpoints across Oahu. Early Friday morning, an officer noticed a vehicle drifting into the other lanes on Piquoy Street. That's when the officer pulled the driver over.
Sources say the Nissan Frontier finally pulled into the parking lot of the 7-Eleven off Piquoy Street. What happened next caused the cop to call for backup.
I'm told the driver and passenger switched seats.
It's a great example of how liquor and driving compounded together make for all sorts of other stupid decisions.
Sources say police were alarmed to find a baby in the back seat. A baby car seat was not buckled in and was wedged against the back of the passenger seat, nearly upside down. I'm told police found an infant strapped into the seat, dangling toward the floor. The baby appeared unharmed. Mark Wilson and his wife, Tamari, were arrested. The grandmother came and took the baby away. Mothers Against Drunk Driving says it's having problems getting the message across to men in their 20s and early 30s.
For God's sake, don't be stupid and drink and drive. The cops are out there waiting for you. We do roadblocks and checkpoints 52 weeks a year.
Victor Baki used to represent Tamari, who was accused of stabbing Mark last October. Baki said Tamari was acting in self-defense. He got the charge down to assault, and Tamari is awaiting trial.
The guy put in his police reports and testified at the preliminary hearing that he assaulted her, that he unlawfully restrained her, that he taunted her to stab him, and that she acted in self-defense. I just have no idea at all as to how this case could be anything other than self-defense.
Police tell me the Wilsons are still in custody. Mark's bail is set at $3,500. Tamari's at $1,750. Bridget Namata, KHON 2 News.
All right, so here is here's the kind of the thesis from this Daily Signal article. Transgender ideology is not just infecting our laws, it's intruding into the lives of the most innocent among us, children, and with the apparent growing support of the professional community. And all right, so here's a little of this interview. She's calling into this conference. It makes it a little bit harder to understand, but this is from Texas Mass Resistance website on YouTube, and this is from April 26, 2017.
He is going to talk about the childhood development issues on gender identity. In other words, pushing the transgender agenda on kids, what this really does to them. Dr. Cretella is coming via Skype, so Dr. Cretella.
Thank you. All right.
trying to understand transgender cult, it's necessary for us to first understand how a normal child develops their gender identity and to contrast that with the gender ideology in the school. Next slide. I'm sorry I can't be there in person, but I thought I'd throw up a little picture for you. I use this. I am the president of the American College of Pediatricians. We are a pro-life, pro-family national organization of pediatricians. I also have four teenagers, three boys and one girl. I did like a few titles of different publications I have regarding transgenderism in children. The medical term is gender dysphoria. Next slide. Do not be deceived. Sex really is a binary trait. That is the norm for human design. XY chromosome, you're a boy. XX, you're a girl. Those are not genetic markers of a disorder. Next slide. Now, everyone is born with a biological sex. But as you know, things can go wrong. When a baby is born without being clearly boy heart versus girl heart, let's say, we call that a disorder of sex development. You will hear it sort of colloquially referred to as intersex. This is rare. It happens in 1 out of 600 to 1 out of 2,000 births. What is important to understand is that intersex is not transgenderism. Intersex is a diagnosable medical condition. Intersex is also not understood as a third sex. There are two biological sexes. Next slide. No one is born with a gender identity. Gender identity is an awareness of ourselves as either male or female. Identity exists in the mind, not in the body. Gender identity develops over time, just as all other self-awareness and self-perception develop over time. Next slide. In general, gender identity development in children begins with infants being able to recognize sex differences. And if you're in the pro-life movement, this probably won't surprise you. But even in the mother's womb, the baby begins to distinguish between the mother's voice versus the father's voice. Within the first few months of life, infants can distinguish between female and male faces. And by 6 months, infants discriminate between both faces and voices by sex.
I think this is a little bit hard to follow, so let me just sum up this story. And the story that I'm looking at came from this, it's basically a boiled down version of this talk that this lady delivered, but it was about, I think, 18 minutes. All right. One of the problems in gender reassignment for children, when they find a child, the child says that, a little boy says, mommy or daddy, I'm really a girl. All right. So because they've set up all these clinics out there, some of the parents that hear this are taking these children to these clinics and they're giving them hormones or hormone blockers when they get to puberty. But they're also transitioning them very early. And the interesting thing is the vast majority of people who go through a stage like that will shake it off and end up seeing themselves as the gender that they were born as. But they don't know what the health risks are for these very powerful drugs that they're giving these children. Now, she says the transition-affirming protocol, in other words, this statement that's put out with these clinics, tells parents to treat their children as the gender they desire and to place them on puberty blockers around 11 or 12 if they're gender dysphoric. In other words, if they believe they're in the wrong body. If by age 16 the children still insist that they are trapped in the wrong body, they are placed on cross-sex hormones and biological girls may obtain a double mastectomy. Now, the bottom surgery, where they transition the genitals, doesn't happen until they're 18, although some surgeons want to do it younger. So here are some of the facts that she lays out. Number one, twin studies prove no one is born trapped in the body of the wrong sex. Some brain studies have suggested that some are born with a transgendered brain, but these studies are seriously flawed and are totally incorrect. In the largest study of twin transgender adults published by Dr. Milton Diamond in 2013, only 28% of the identical twins both identified as transgender. So they have identical bodies, identical brains. They should have identical experiences. 2% of the time they differed. So that means that they're not born that way. Two, gender identity is malleable, especially in young children. Even the American Psychological Association's Handbook of Sexuality and Psychology admits that prior to the widespread promotion of transitioning support for that, 75 to 95% of prepubertal children who were distressed by their biological sex eventually outgrew the idea that they were born in the wrong body. But in the United Kingdom, sending these children to a doctor has gone up by 2,000% since 2009 because it's out in the media. Now, puberty blockers for gender dysphoria in other words, being born in the wrong body have not been proven safe. So the authors note that there is evidence for decreased bone mineralization, increased risk of bone fracture in young adults, potential increased risk of obesity and testicular cancer in boys, and an unknown impact on girls. There are no cases in the scientific literature of gender dysphoric children discontinuing blockers. In other words, even though a high percentage of children on their own will give up the idea that they're born in the wrong body, 0% once they go on the blockers will opt out, which means that they're on a rigorous schedule and the adults are calling the shots. Another one, cross-sex hormones are associated with dangerous health risks, such as cardiac disease, high blood pressure, blood clots, strokes, diabetes, and cancers. Neuroscience shows that adolescents lack the adult capacity needed for risk assessment to know what they're getting into. And there's no proof that affirmation prevents suicide in children. In other words, one of the reasons that they tell people, these parents, that their kids need to transition is because of the risk that they'll commit suicide. But over 90% of people who commit suicide have a diagnosed mental disorder, and there's no evidence that gender dysphoric children who commit suicide are any different. And 8, transition affirming protocol has not solved the problem of transgender suicide. Whether they have sex changes or not, people who are in their minds trannies, transsexuals, their risk of killing themselves is 20 times greater. Thought you might find that interesting. Take a break here and get into your local news, 523-1450 and 805-6180. In other words, the liberals have come up with another crazy and unsubstantiated way to ruin people's lives. AM Las Cruces, we'll be right back.
Yeah.
All right, so here is the times that we're living in, postmodernism. Here's a little bit from Jordan Peterson, and I'm wondering if, let me save this for a little bit later. Let me get into a little more news. The agenda of postmodernism, I'll play that later in the show, 15 minutes or so. Comey went silent when I asked him about his memos, Jason Chaffetz. As I mentioned, as I predicted, as James Comey got deeper into his position, the chances of him getting in trouble went up. Now he's in more trouble. He could get prosecuted.
The investigations in Washington, D.C. I know you've had the confidential conversations with James Comey, former FBI director. The president of the United States, in the last 20 minutes, just tweeted this out. James Comey leaked classified information to the media that is so illegal. Just slightly before that, Jason Chaffetz himself tweeted this out. Comey's private memos on Trump conversations contain classified material. If true, this is bombshell news. And this comes from The Hill that suggests that of those private memos, supposedly private, although really federal documents, that James Comey made after talking to President Trump, at least half of them have classified information.
After that was revealed, I actually was able to get on the phone with Director Comey, and he's a very jovial, open person on the phone. But when I asked him about the disposition of those emails, where are these documents, he got silent. He said he wouldn't talk about it. He wouldn't tell me where they were. And it really raised a lot of eyebrows as I went back and talked to the staff and other members and said, look, he's not going to give us up easily. We're going to have to go fight to
get
them.
They belong to the FBI.
Well, they're federal records, and the Oversight Committee had jurisdiction over federal records. And so, but then all of a sudden you had this special prosecutor, and it became very convoluted. But if this is true, no official can just give these documents out. And in the case of James Comey, what he testified to is he gave them to a friend to give them to the media. You can't do that. It's against the law.
So that we understand it, there were 9 meetings with the president. 7 of those meetings resulted in James Comey jotting down separate memos of those meetings. He thought it was so important, 4 of which contained classified information. And the big picture, he told in an open hearing, I took information after the president spoke about my firing. I called up my Columbia professor who called the New York Times and then told about this information. He had no problem revealing the pathway towards the leakage.
It all pivots on whether or not that information that he gave to that professor was classified or not classified. Remember, the excuse for Hillary Clinton was she didn't have the cognitive capability to determine whether or not something was classified. Therefore, he couldn't prove intent. The FBI director is not going to get away with the idea that he didn't know what was classified or what was classified. He can't. He doesn't have that excuse.
All right. This is what he said on June 8th. Listen to James Comey.
You said after you were dismissed, you gave information to a friend so that friend could get that information into the public media.
Correct.
What kind of information was that?
I understood this to be my recollection recorded of my conversation with the president. As a private citizen, I felt free to share that. I thought it very important to get it out.
So were all of your memos that you recorded on classified or other documents, memos that might be yours as a private citizen?
I'm sorry, I'm not following the question.
Well, I think you said you'd use classified.
Not the classified documents, unclassified. My view was that the content of those unclassified, the memorialization of those conversations was my recollection recorded.
Congressman?
Well, look, when he was the FBI director meeting with the president, he wasn't a private citizen. And there is some executive privilege there. Everybody doesn't just get to say, hey, I changed hats and now I'm not a classified person and I can just hand out this information.
Sure.
Okay.
All right. So will he be prosecuted? Should he be prosecuted? 523-1450-805-6180. All right. Here is the clip. All right, let me play this other thing. I was going to play the clip for Tortilla Heaven official trailer, but right, I don't think I'm ready for that. Here is what is going on out there. For instance, they want to take these kids and turn them into the opposite sex because the kids are asking for it? No, because it's part of their agenda. Where does the agenda come from? Here is Jordan Peterson, a little introduction exposing the postmodernist agenda. This guy is absolutely brilliant. Look him up on YouTube.
Properly without considering the role that postmodernism plays in this, because postmodernism in many ways, especially as it's played out politically, is the new skin that the old Marxism now inhabits. So you could think that there's a postmodern philosophy, which we'll talk about a bit, that really came into its vogue in the 1970s after classic Marxism, especially of the economic type, had been so thoroughly discredited that no one but an absolute reprobate could support it publicly anymore. Even the French intellectuals had to admit that communism was a bad deal by the end of the 1960s. And what happened was that they played a sleight of hand game in some sense and rebranded themselves under the postmodern guise. And that's where identity politics came from. And so, and then that spread like wildfire from France, especially into the U.S. through Yale University, through the English department there, and then everywhere. And so what happened was, you know, there was this idea that the Marxists had put forth that the natural landscape of economic landscape is a battle. And it's a battle between the proletariat, the working class, and the bourgeois, and that that economic systems were doomed to continue to enslave people and to keep them poor and downtrodden unless there was a radical economic transformation that was predicated on something more like equity policy. And then that was put into place in many, many places, as you no doubt know, throughout the 20th century, with absolutely murderous results. It was the most destructive economic and political doctrine, I think, that has ever been invented by mankind. And that includes National Socialism, because the absolute magnitude of the havoc wreaked by the communist systems exceeded that wreaked by Hitler. And that's, I mean, Hitler didn't have quite as long a time to pull his stunts off quite as effectively, but it was a catastrophic system. And one of the things that's quite interesting is that the full breadth of that catastrophe is not something that students are well taught in our current educational system, which has always made me very suspicious. For example, the students I teach usually know nothing at all about what happened in the Soviet Union, Stalin and Lenin between 1919 and 1959. They have no idea that millions, tens of millions of people were killed and far more tortured and brutalized by that particular regime, to say nothing of Mao. So look, what happened was that by the end of the 1960s, the evidence that communism was a catastrophic failure was so overwhelming that even the French intellectuals, and we'll return to them later, like because the French have a very long-lasting and powerful public intellectual tradition, and so intellectuals there are very influential. Even the French intellectuals like Sartre, Jean-Paul Sartre, the famous philosopher, had to admit by the end of the 1960s that the Stalinist, communist, Maoist experiment and all of its variants, not just those particular dictators, but all of its variants, was an absolute catastrophic failure. And then what happened was the postmodernists came onto the scene, and they were all Marxists, but they couldn't be Marxists anymore because you couldn't be a Marxist and claim that you were a human being by the end of the 1960s. And so they started to play a sleight of hand, and instead of pitting the proletariat, the working class, against the bourgeoisie, they started to pit the oppressed against the oppressor. And that opened up the avenue to identifying any number of groups as oppressed and oppressor, and to continue the same narrative under a different name. It was no longer specifically about economics. It was about power. And everything to the postmodernists is about power. And that's actually why they're so dangerous, because if you're engaged in a discussion with someone who believes in nothing but power, all they are motivated to do is to accrue all the power to them. Because what else is there? There's no logic. There's no investigation. There's no negotiation. There's no dialogue. There's no discussion. There's no meeting of minds and consensus. There's power. And so since the 1970s, under the guise of postmodernism, we've seen the rapid expansion of identity politics throughout the universities. It's come to dominate all of the humanities, which are dead as far as I can tell, and a huge proportion of the social sciences. And we've been publicly funding extremely radical postmodern leftist thinkers who are hell-bent on demolishing the fundamental substructure of Western civilization. And that's no paranoid delusion. That's their self-admitted goal. And I've identified, not only me, obviously, but one of the main players in this entire drama is a French philosopher named Jacques Derrida, who I think most trenchantly formulated the anti-Western philosophy that is being pursued so assiduously by the radical left. And
hey,
I think
Kelly,
it's dangerous to not be... I don't think it's dangerous
hey,
to
it's
be
Hey, it's Kelly,
overstated.
Who's this? Please talk.
And I also don't think the degree to
hold
which
on.
It's already
I'll put you on
infiltrated
hold.
Our culture can be overstated. I mean, the people who hold this doctrine, this radical postmodern communitarian doctrine that makes racial identity or sexual identity or gender identity or some kind of group identity paramount, they've got control over most low to mid-level bureaucratic structures and many governments as well. But even in the United States, where you know a lot of the governmental institutions have swung back to the Republican side, the postmodernist types have infiltrated bureaucratic organizations at the mid to upper level. And that's actually what they're trained to do by their activist professors in university. And if you want proof of that, you can just go onto the websites of women's studies groups, for example, because they're some of the top offenders, and just look at what they say.
Fascinating and scary. We've got a call. Thanks for the call, Aaron. What's going on?
Hey, Ken, I just wonder if you'd repeat who the gentleman was. It sounds to me like he hit the nail directly on the head, as they say. Everything he said, it seems like I've been living through the last 8 years.
Yeah, it is. His name is Jordan Peterson. He's about the best person I have ever found on the internet to cover some of this stuff. He's totally fearless in going after this stuff, and he really gets down to the like you say, the nub. He gets down to the issues, and really fantastic. I couldn't be more enthusiastic about him, and I've just stumbled into him and have been listening to his stuff. Anything else?
No, just that hopefully more people like this guy can find their way into our academic literature, and that our youth and our younger people can be educated as to what the opposition's ultimate goals are.
Okay.
Which is to just accumulate power.
That's it. Thanks, Aaron. Got to go. Folks, got to take a little break here, and we'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. All right, so I'm going to be bringing some more clips on from this guy. He covers so many topics, it just makes your head swim. Here's Tortilla Heaven, official trailer, 2011, New Mexico, movie. A tightly knit New Mexico community devoted to God, family, and fresh Mexican food is unexpectedly thrust in the national spotlight when the face of Jesus appears on a tasty tortilla as the owner and head cook prepares for the Sunday lunch rush. Isidore Navarro, Jose Zuniga, and the owner and proprietor of Tortilla Heaven.
High in the Sangre de Cristo Mountains of New Mexico, in the tiny town of Falfurrias, a miracle is burning.
Madre Santa!
Oh my God!
Don't tell anyone!
Have you seen the tortilla? I'll give you $1.
I'll give you $1.
Give you $2. $3 ahead. What do you say?
God, it's a miracle! The tortilla resurrected the pig!
Since the appearance of the tortilla, this town has been flooded by pilgrims.
Get in line! Come on, let's go!
Hello, welcome to Tortilla Heaven.
Gil Garcia, management consultant.
You are the creator of the tortilla, Kenno.
Yeah.
Then you own all the rights to the merchandise.
Holy man! Have Jesus with your coffee every morning. He's hand-painted.
Jesus Christ is a registered trademark of the Roman Catholic Church.
Now we're cooking.
I can't take any more of this. All right. We'll take our last break right now. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450-805-6180.
Where are the mercy?
time for one last thing. The kid who woke up getting his head crunched by a bear from Ward, Colorado, not too far away.
His story after surviving a bear attack at a campground in Boulder. That attack happened early this morning near Ward at the Glacier View Ranch. Good evening, I'm Kelly Worthman. The 19-year-old managed to fight off the bear. Our Melissa Garcia is covering Colorado First and actually spoke with the victim. And Melissa, this is far more frightening than our usual human-bear encounters.
It is, and wildlife experts say over the last 10 years in Colorado, they've seen between 15 and 20 bear attacks. Luckily, in this case, the victim survived. He may have his own training to thank for that.
I thought I'd be attacked by a bear.
19-year-old Dylan has the scars to prove a story he'll be telling for years. Little did the camp staffer who teaches wilderness survival skills to kids here at Glacier View Ranch know that his own survival would soon rely on that very training. Around 4 a.m. Sunday, he awoke to a bear's attack.
I woke up to a crunching sound and a lot of pain, and the bear had a hold of my head and was dragging me across the ground.
We want to warn you, the images you're about to see are graphic. As the bear's teeth tore into flesh, Dylan fought back with all the strength he had.
I just started hitting the bear as hard as I could, and I found its eye, and I started poking its eye with my fingers as hard as I could, and it dragged me for about 10 feet before I was able to get it off me.
Other staff members helped chase the bear off and did emergency first aid while paramedics rushed to the scene. Wildlife experts are using hounds and possibly traps to track down the bear for euthanization.
A lot of citizens get very upset when we have to put animals down.
Colorado Parks and Wildlife's Jennifer Churchill says sometimes there's no other choice.
I think it's very important that we understand we can't have wildlife if we don't have public safety. It can teach that behavior to other animals, or the behavior could escalate.
After 9 staples to close the gash and an animal bite shot, Dylan is doing fine and is already back at camp to finish the season.
I feel really lucky. If I would have been turned any other direction, it could have gotten inside of my face or my neck. I feel pretty lucky.
And it's unknown right now what may have caused this bear to attack. After it is captured and euthanized, it'll go in for necropsy, which could provide some clues. We're live in Boulder County. Melissa Garcia, CBS 4 News.
Amazing story, huh? Now we've got a little bit of Maria Bamford, a very weird comedian who admits to having been being put in a mental health establishment before. Here she is on Cults.
Sometimes I get kind of a bad attitude at work. Stop being a team player. Remember one day I was sitting in the employee kitchen drinking non-dairy creamer straight from the carton. And a girlfriend, she came out to me and she said, "Hey Maria, I've been taking this class. It's really changed my life. Would you like to come tonight? It's at 7:30 p.m. at the DoubleTree Santa Monica. There's no obligation. And it's free." "Sure, I'll join your cult." Always wanted to be in one, you know. Get to wear a uniform. You have any major life questions, check the manual. There is a God, there is a plan, and the spaceship is coming. So I went. They sent me down with the guru. She said,
"Maria, what's something you want to make manifest in your life?"
"Like a new car."
"What do you really want?"
"A new car."
"What do you really want?"
"Toyota 4Runner SR5 limited leather. that runs on dreams and starlight." She got mad at me because I didn't have the cash for the brainwash weekend.
"Ray, let's think of all the ways we can get $495 tonight. Do you have a charge card?"
"Nope."
"Do you have something you could sell?"
"I bet my soul might be worth something."
Is there anyone you could borrow it from?"
"Oh, man, if you could spot me."
"Maria, what are you afraid of?"
"Bears."
"What are you afraid of?"
"The North American grizzly."
"What are you afraid of?"
weird because I'm most afraid of being sucked into a crazy, creepy cult. Why am I so afraid?
Thanks for tuning in, and we'll meet you back in 22 hours. Kelly O'Connell, have a great day. Hopefully we get some rain. Take out with some Oasis. Stop crying your heart out, Kathy.